Shall we start as we mean to go on? If you're determined to get in shape for 2021, you might be thinking about the practicality of taking up running, even just aiming for a few Ks to start with. Sounds easy, just put on your shoes and head out the door. But if you've never run before, or at least not for a while, we might be able to help you out now with a few tips and tricks. And Dr. Kelly Sheeran is a senior lecturer at AUT's School of Sport and Recreation, and he's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with the distance. We're going to build up to this 5 kilometres, right? We don't expect to run it straight away.
Absolutely, yep. In fact, we might not even start with running. I'm pretty keen on starting at a realistic pace, which I think is going for a walk. We've just got off the couch. We've had a break.
That's a very good idea. So you don't run straight away. You might actually do a bit of... walk one between one power pole, run between another, or just walking?
Yeah, I think we can start with just a walk. And I actually think psychologically it's quite useful to start with a walk and think about it as I'm going for a walk and I'm going to have some jog bits just as part of my walk. And actually that helps us psychologically, I guess, break into this, right? Rather than I'm going for a run and I'm going to add some walking bits into my run, because as human beings, what we always try and kind of push ourselves a little bit more, and that turns into we try and run too much. So psychologically turn it around, and we tend to be okay with that. I guess the biggest problem here in these first couple of weeks of just getting into this is getting injured. Right, that's going to be the thing that really prevents us hitting our goal and going places.
All right, let's break it down a bit. The distance of 5Ks, I looked it up, Kelly. It's 5,000 metres, obviously.
Your maths is as good as mine.
Which is, on a standard outdoor track, 5,000 metres is 12.5 laps. And in old school language, it's 3.1 miles. So we've all got in our heads, we're aiming for that. So we'll come to the shoes in a minute, but let's start at the basics. What's the best thing to wear?
I don't think we should. Yeah, so if we ignore shoes, let's not overcomplicate this. And something that's comfortable. There's plenty of stuff out there nowadays. Let's say a loose-fitting athletic shirt and some comfortable shorts is probably a good place to start. And some reasonable quality socks. Blisters can be a real pain in the foot. So let's try and prevent those, and kind of, I guess, oversized or old cotton socks can be a bit of an issue with those, particularly in this hot summer weather. And a cap.
And a cap, right. I wouldn't have thought about that. So shoes, should we be heading to a professional to get fitted, or will just a pair of generic runners be okay to begin with?
Before we go there, I would say that our biggest problem at the moment in terms of shoes is that everyone's going to turn around and go into the depths of their closet and find a pair of running shoes. And that's probably the worst thing that we can do. If we've got an old pair of kind of falling apart shoes lying around that we are going to throw on because we're not really sure that we're committing to this or whatever, that's our big risk right now, and that's going to contribute to our injury problem in these next couple of weeks. So yes, let's go and get some new shoes if we don't have something a bit newer lying around. And I would say yes, let's go somewhere where there's a good range of shoes that we can try on, and that there's someone to talk to who knows something about running shoes. Let's leave it there, I think, in terms of selecting our store.
Are we looking for firm soles or those flexible soles? Any tips before we go in?
This is an absolute minefield at the moment. If I put my scientist hat on, there's very little, if any, science that's going to support which type of running shoe that we go for. I'm going to suggest something that fits your feet really well, and that goes back to the point of somewhere that's got a good selection of shoes that you can try on, and they're willing to kind of spend a bit of time with you finding something that fits you well. And let's face it, in New Zealand, we've got, you know, a wide ethnic diversity and lots of different sizes and shapes of feet. So, you know, getting that right is not always easy. And then I think the next thing is finding something that's comfortable, you know, so a outlet that has, you know, the ability maybe for you to run in store, or that are happy for you to do like a 30-day return policy, is, you know, that's good in my books. If you've got a history of a good pair of shoes that you like and you can find them online for a whole lot cheaper than you can, you know, going into a store, and yeah, you've been happy with them in the past, hey, go for that as well.
Do running shoes have a 30-day return policy?
Yeah, some of the good retailers, you know, that provide good service, do that. Yeah, they'll back themselves. So they'll spend a bit of time with you, making sure that you're happy with, you know, with what it is. And then, yeah, they'll send you away with them. And if you're not happy about them, then they'll replace them for you.
I hope they don't sell them on to someone else.
Well, I don't think they do.
You're allowed to actually go for a run in them and then take them back.
You are, yeah, absolutely. They do back themselves and say, hey, well, we're going to try and, you know, put you in the best shoes. And let's face it, that's probably not going to be the cheapest place to go and get a pair of shoes.
Yes,
right? But you're getting a bit more service than what you would, and it's maybe less of a gamble.
So this is really our outlay for this particular form of fitness, is our shoes, if we don't have the right shoes. And would we be looking under $200, wouldn't we? Maybe 100?
Yeah, I would say probably somewhere between those two price points. You know, you're going to get yourself a good pair of shoes. And if you're a good bargain hunter, you know, particularly at this time of year where, you know, there's some 2020 models that are on sale, then, you know, you might walk out even better than that. And again, going back to the evidence and the research, there's nothing that links the price of a pair of shoes to its performance or you know, ability to protect you against injuries or anything like that.
Okay. Righto, so we've got our shoes and we're going to go 5 kilometres. That's our aim. And how long will this take us to build up to a 5K run? We start with a walk on day one. How much of a walk?
So we're probably, in terms of how long is this going to take us to get up to 5K, a little bit of an unknown, depending on, I guess, where we're starting from a baseline. But, you know, to get there and to get there comfortably and to not suffer any injuries along the way, we're looking at probably 8 or 9 weeks. So this is not a quick thing that we're going to do. This is, you know, this is part of us kind of, I guess, setting a goal and working a way to achieve that.
Righto. So, well, I can't go through the whole 9 weeks to take us there.
Absolutely. No.
But maybe you could provide us with that schedule and we could put it online and people could have a look at it.
Yeah, well, I think there's actually, you know, there's a bunch of really good schedules already online, and there's some apps and things like that that you can download on your phone, like Couch to 5K and things like that. And they're all really good. And I think some of them have the ability for you to tweak them and change them and things like that. But I think there's some, you know, irrespective of what program you've got or what you want to follow, I think there's some fundamental principles that you want to kind of just bear in mind as well. And don't, I guess, check out your common sense while you're kind of following these programs. And, you know, things like making sure that you have some rest days, and, you know, we want to take this slowly. We want it to be successful, and having rest days is a really key component of that. You know, while we feel like the best way to get better at running is to run, and that's certainly a key component of it, actually we improve and get fitter as our body recovers from our runs. So giving ourselves adequate kind of rest and recovery is really important as well.
That's very good. I'll bring up some specifics that people find when they go running. One is shin splints. A lot of people find that when they start running.
Yep. So shin problems, shin pain, and shin splints. splints is a bit of a generic term to shin pain, but yes, shin pain, really big problem with beginner runners, as is knee pain. And I guess going cycling back to a point that we've already covered, real key thing in terms of helping to prevent that is getting those shoes and making sure they're new shoes. If you're in old, dead, kind of worn out shoes, then high chance you're gonna start experiencing shin pain. As is running too fast, and actually, strangely, you should mention shin pain, because my shins are a little bit sore this morning. I haven't done much running in the last couple of months. I've been focusing on cycling, and I had to run to get to my car yesterday. I was in a bit of a hurry. And so just even a return to running after a little bit of time, I can feel it in my shins because they got a workout yesterday. So back to my last point, give myself a couple of days before I go out for another run again. But I was also running too fast because I was in a hurry yesterday. And so really, as part of easing into this program, we're also going to ease into it as from a pacing perspective as well. And I would actually kind of, I guess, put a weird comment around that. For a beginner runner, put some effort into running slow. Actually think about going slower. You know, we have this psychological tendency, we're running, we want to go fast. And actually, in terms of achieving our 5K goal during those first couple of weeks, we want to run, but actually, let's just take it easy and go a bit slower with it.
And not worry what people are thinking as they're watching you run past.
Absolutely. They're the ones sitting there watching you.
Yeah, that's right.
they can start running.
There's a lot of focus, and it's probably right too, on form, because you do have to be aware of the placement of your body, don't you, as you're running. I see a lot of people who are really hunched over and they're sort of head down, and they look very, like they don't look like they're doing their body any favours.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you brought this point up, because this is probably my biggest thing, and actually it's what I've done all of my research in is running technique, and it's the thing that everyone ignores. And in fact, you know, while we've talked about you know, shoes is a big point, running technique's way more important than shoes, and it's, you know, it's one of the biggest things in terms of giving yourself an injury or in fact, you know, running in a really inefficient way and burning lots of energy. And just, you know, I guess while running is a fundamental movement pattern that we all are essentially born to do or develop within the first couple of years, it's when we think about it in the context of, you know, going out and training to do an event or just to run 5K, it's a sport, it's a skill. And, you know, if we were going to go and play tennis three times a week, pretty early in that journey, we'd think about our you know, tennis technique, and we might even get a little bit of coaching around that. And running's really no different. It's the technique of it is really important, and particularly for injury prevention. And so I guess I can certainly take this to the nth degree and I could talk about it all day, but I think to keep it simple, you know, thinking about how we strike the ground and being a little bit softer in the way that we strike the ground is a really good starting point, and not be that runner that runs along that you can hear coming, you know, from 500 meters down the road. And that's certainly going to help to prevent things like shin pain and knee pain, is just being a little bit softer, a little bit quieter, having your head up and your trunk in a good kind of straight position. And I guess the other thing that helps to support this is having a bit of strength and mobility in our body as well. So while we talk a lot about running, actually doing some other activity is really important at the same time.
Well, that's a very good point. So, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff as well as programs to get to 5K. There'll be a lot of things about your hands and your arms and your torso and your shoulders online, so people can spend a bit of time and actually look at that form and try it out when they get out.
Yep,
on
yep.
the
For sure. And, you know, we've all got a camera in our pocket these days, right? So get your friend, get your partner actually to, you know, to take a little video of you as you run down the road and have a look at what your running technique is actually like.
Eek.
And then, you know,
Kelly.
Yeah, I know. People hate that.
yeah, I'll just go and watch this video of me running down the road.
But, you know, it's quite insightful for, you know, what we all have it in our mind's eye, right, that we're, you know, this great track runner, but actually in reality we're a little bit different to that. But that's a really good way of us identifying that and, you know, seeing how is our trunk positioned, where are we by default looking, are we staring at the ground right in front of us? And, you know, then you can jump online and have a look at you know, what people say about these things and compare yourself to others and go from there.
Yeah, very good idea. And that arm business, there is something about the pumping, isn't there? You're supposed to do it at 90 degrees. Your hands are supposed to come up and down, aren't they? Like a bit of a pump?
Yeah, to a certain degree. Your arms kind of counterbalance what's happening at your legs. So, again, they can be a little bit of a, I guess, giveaway. If you're a little bit weak or inflexible through your legs, then suddenly you can start doing some weird things through your arms. But yes, they should definitely be moving. They shouldn't be moving too much. Ideally, we don't want them crossing across our body. We want them kind of pumping generally in the kind of front to back direction. And yeah, our elbows kind of held around that kind of 90 to 100 degree kind of mark.
So many things to learn about it. One thing, Kelly, I really hate when people are running, and this is last year it was all the time, they run past you when you're walking. They run past you so close that, you know, sometimes you can smell them and you can feel the heat coming off them. It's really off-putting for people walking. Runners should be aware of that, shouldn't they?
Probably, yeah. And I agree. There was a couple of weeks there where there was a lot of kind of online hate flying around about runners being too close. And, you know, I think back when we were a bit concerned that maybe we transmitted diseases through our sweat and things like that. But, you know, at the very least, it's, you know, it's not pleasant as such. I think it just goes into, hey, we need to be aware of people around us and our, you know, our personal space, and be considerate, really.
No spitting, coughing or sniffing.
Indeed. Those are all the definitely, you know, evil things these days.
And stay 2 meters away from everyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, fortunately, we live in a country where that's largely possible most of the time.
We do. So as you say, walking is the perfect place to start.
Yeah. I think that walking with a little bit of running is an absolute fantastic place to start. And quite often we surprise ourselves.
Do we?
Yeah, and I think probably one of the, you know, the hardest things for a new runner or even someone returning to running is those first couple of weeks are tough. You know, like you huff and you puff and you feel, you know, slow, and am I ever going to break through to this being something comfortable and that, you know, that I enjoy? And so, you know, it takes weeks, and then all of a sudden it clicks. And, you know, it's just that little bit less effortful, and it's that little bit more enjoyable. And I think look out for that window, and that's, you know, that's the open door to, you know, to the real enjoyment of running. And some people will think I'm crazy.
What is the greatest joy of running, in your opinion, in your experience?
I guess it's quite an individual thing, but for me it's always been accessibility and freedom, and, you know, the ease of just being able to slip on a pair of shoes and run out the door and find your happy place. And whether that's you know, on a local route, or, you know, a little trail, or on the beach, or wherever. And, you know, it's just so easy to go out and do it. And, you know, some people love getting out on a really nice sunny day. For other people, actually, you know, on a real stormy, awful day, you know, is the thing that they really love, and it's a bit of an individual passion, really.
Kelly, thanks for inspiring us to have a go. So appreciate your time today.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
That's Dr. Kelly Sheeran, a senior lecturer at AUT's School of Sport and Recreation.